the Ain't No Doubts to start the hour. Phil Collins, studio, in these just studio, as I used to say back in the day, but I don't anymore. 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. Scientists in Italy are investigating the mysterious appearance of pink glacial ice in the Alps caused by algae that accelerate the effects of climate change. Now, there's a debate about where the algae come from, but Biagio Di Moro of Italy's National Research Council said the pink snow observed on parts of the Prasena glacier is likely caused by the same plant found in Greenland. Now, the algae is not dangerous. It's a natural phenomenon that occurs during the spring and summer periods in the middle latitudes, but also at the poles, he said. Now, the plant known as Ancyclamina nordenskioldii is present in Greenland's so-called dark zone, where the ice is also melting. Now, normally ice reflects more than 80% of the sun's radiation back into the atmosphere, but as algae appear, they darken the ice so it absorbs the heat and melts more quickly. Now, more algae appear as the ice melts more rapidly, giving them vital water and air and adding red hues to the white ice at Passo Gavia, which is altitude 2,618 metres. A tourist at the glacier lamenting the impacts of climate change. Now, one said overheating of the planet is a problem. The last thing we needed was algae. Unfortunately, we're doing irreversible damage. We're already at the point of no return. 60 minutes past eight is another new track from the new Paul Weller album, Rockets. Here's this morning's comedy. Lentils, anyone?
OK, guys, don't do anything unusual. Did a guy with a lisp phone?
No one phoned you, Mike. Well, we haven't got a telephone.
Yeah. I know, but did a guy with a lisp phone?
No, he didn't.
Did he say anything about the bananas?
No.
I thought you said he didn't phone. He didn't. OK, that's good. But it could have been very bad. Anyway, forget you ever even heard the name.
What name?
Hey, you're learning. That's good.
I've got an uncle called Dusty.
Neil, are these lentils South African?
Well...
You bastard! You complete and utter bastard! Why don't you just go out and become a policeman? Become a police! There's no difference, you know. Ow, ow, ow. There's no difference, you know. You think there is, but there isn't. I suppose you hate gay people too.
Listen, just don't bring me down again, all right, Rick?
OK, where's my bivo? Where is my bivo?
Here, here's mine.
This is my bivo!
Well, I just saw it lying on your desk. I thought you didn't want it anymore.
But look at it, it's half empty.
It was just lying there, Rick. What's a guy supposed to think?
Neil! What are you doing, Neil? To make a meal, Neil.
Surreal.
From totalitarian vegetables. How much does it cost, Neil?
Well, actually, it's about £4.50 each.
£4.50? I'm not paying you money to eat black men. I can become a pig and do that for free.
Right on.
Neil, when I eat a meal worth £4.50, I'm not paying for it. You got me?
Yeah, okay, right. Like, house meeting, okay? Yeah. I know £4.50 is, right, a hell of a lot of bread to lay out just for a lentil casserole, but I did a lot, right? And it struck me that, like, considering what I'm going to do tonight, I should do, like, 13 portions.
30? What are you doing, starting a football team?
No, killing myself. Killing myself? This is my last supper, right? I finished building my gallows, and it's totally far out. You should see it, Rick. Like, when the trapdoor opens and I, like, die, it lights joysticks and plays Rock Around the Clock. It's totally amazing.
Oh, Fallout! Really great! Woodstock!
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy your four-day week last week, did you?
It was all good. I didn't think I had a four-day week, I mean, but I put in a full work week, as I always do. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to join you because I had a call on a Friday morning, but it's nice to be back with you once again today.
Call from your bank manager?
Not exactly, no. Yeah,
okay. Did you go for a pint on Saturday, or...?
I didn't, to be honest. There's lots of excitement across England, of course, as pubs reopen, the so-called Super Saturday. To be honest, I don't really go to pubs drinking anyway, so it didn't make too much of a difference to me. I tell you what I did, though. I went down by the seaside. It was about 15 degrees. It was pouring with rain. The wind was whirling, but we had a lovely time down there. So
which seaside?
Very pleasant. Went to Bexhill, which is
Bexhill.
By Hastings.
Oh, very nice. Very
along
nice.
The front there. Now, my kids are a little bit soft, but they were quite hardy in the rain, and it was very pleasant. So while people were enjoying themselves in the pub, and I don't think it actually turned out to be as dramatic as some commentators have suggested about the social drinking replacing social distancing. We were out there enjoying ourselves.
Did you have a stick of rock?
No, there wasn't very much open. It was absolutely horrendous weather, but it was refreshing and very nice.
But fortunately, the vast majority of people did seem to respect the government's advice about social distancing, even if they were in the pub. And there were a few pockets of antisocial behaviour, but not nearly as many as we first thought.
Yeah, so far so good. I think it was tempered a little bit by the poor weather that we had. I think if it had been blazing sunshine, then people would have got very excited about that. But fortunately, that wasn't the case.
Well, Nigel Farage looked like he was quite excited.
Oh, I can imagine. I didn't see pictures of him. Was he out there with the traditional picture with a pint of beer?
Well, there's some question mark on whether he's broken the lockdown rules, because he was in the United States 2 weeks ago. Supposed to self-isolate for 2 weeks on coming back to the UK, and was tweeted a picture of himself in the pub on Saturday morning, which a lot of people say was within the two-week limit.
Oh dear, it's there's going to be lots of debates around that, and how enforceable that that process is still remains, of course, a matter of contention across the UK. Although the UK, of course, has loosened many of those rules in a number of countries now, it means that you will not have to self-isolate when you come back to the UK.
Will England's loosened the rules? I mean, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales haven't yet, but yes, you're still supposed to self-isolate if you come back into England for 2 weeks up until Friday, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Right. Moving on to the markets. Not a bad week last week. It was tainted towards the end of the week, even though Wall Street wasn't open on Friday.
It was a positive week, actually, for equity markets last week. As you say, US shares were up 4%, European shares were up 2%. European shares came off a little bit on Friday, and some concern that there's a lack of unity in the European Central Bank to continue to provide support to peripheral countries, particularly the likes of Italy, for example, that have benefited from the purchase program that's been put in place by the European Central Bank. And any sign that that unity breakdown, of course, will nerve investors. I think there's a battle that's been taking place. We've been talking about this over the course of the past couple of weeks, about through the coronavirus and the recovering economic data. That conflict, of course, is particularly stark in the United States. Over the past week, we've seen a raft of very positive data releases from the US, most notably, of course, June's non-farm payroll report, where the US economy created jobs at a record rate in June. Non-farm payrolls increased by 4.8 million. The unemployment rate fell to 11.1%. The improving labour market has been accompanied by a strong recovery in US home sales, rebounding in terms of US consumer confidence, and a jump in factory activity, all of which suggests recovery is strong in the US. However, as we know, the path of the pandemic is somewhat telling a different story, where we've seen record daily rises of infections in the United States. I think the shape of the recovery is by no means assured. Data suggests a V-shaped recovery, but pandemic protocols, the risk of a second wave, persistently elevated unemployment levels compared to where we were before the pandemic, higher debt levels suggest there's still plenty of reasons to be cautious. Shape of the recovery, I think, is too early to tell. We know it'll be determined by COVID-19 and scientists who are fighting to combat it. Epidemiologists are refusing to predict the path of the disease, so I think it's irrational to ask economists to do so when it comes to the economy, given they're inextricably linked. So lots of talk about whether it's V-shape, W-shape, L-shape, U-shape, or the Nike swoosh. But the reality, as I say, I think it's just too early to tell, and markets will continue to react to the economic data, but also the medical numbers that we continue to receive. In saying that, we are looking at a positive start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 82 points, DAX over in Frankfurt up 260 points, CAC 40 in Paris up 94 points.
Yes, as you say, it's difficult to predict when and how the economy is going to happen. The economists at Goldman Sachs haven't painted an altogether healthy picture of the United States, though.
No, I think there's still, as I say, many reasons to be cautious. We know the activity has recovered as lockdown measures have been eased. But in many states, if you look at Arizona, if you look at Georgia, if you look at Texas, if you look at Florida, big states, large population, important to the US economy, they've had to reimpose restrictions as we see flare-ups coming through. So the reality is, as we've said many times, until we get to that point of a vaccine, the fragile nature of the recovery will continue to be an important component in investors' minds.
OK, on to the UK, and I think most people agree that the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, has come through the coronavirus crisis with flying colours, but it's real crunch time for him now, and the announcements he's going to make over the next couple of days, in particular Wednesday, will set the seal on what kind of a Chancellor he is judged to have been.
True, so far the Chancellor has been brave, he's been aggressive in terms of and proactive in terms of his response to the pandemic. Said to be, as you say, another busy week for him as he declares his mini budget on Wednesday against the most challenging economic backdrop since World War II. The UK economy has contracted at a record rate in the second quarter. The economy shrank by a fifth in April. Forecasts are for unemployment levels to continue to surge. Jobless claims have doubled to almost 3 million. National debt is above 100% of economic output, the first time since 1963, but continues to push ahead as he tries to stimulate economic growth with a rise potentially in the stamp duty threshold to £500,000 for a year and have to kickstart the housing market. £1.6 billion bailout for the arts. That's a sector, of course, that's been decimated by the lockdown. Double the number of work coaches at job centres, support for apprentices as a try to get people back to work. Perhaps slashing VAT as well from 20%, taking it down maybe close to 15% to encourage consumer spending. Increase the annual investment allowance, that's tax relief for businesses buying things like machinery. Extending the business rate holiday for the hospitality sector and a long-term investment in the green agenda as well. So these are broad measures. These are, again, significant changes to the current environment aimed at getting the economy up and running once again, getting people back to work and stimulating spending.
And there's some suggestions that he's revving up his helicopter, Henk, and is about to drop vouchers of £500 on every household so they can go and spend them in the high street.
Yeah, this is something you've been keen on for some time, mostly because you think it'll give you some financial fire to spend. Yeah, it's an interesting debate, that, of course, because the question is, do you give it to people who then save a lot of that money so it doesn't stimulate the economy, or do you try to promote activity in other ways? So far, policymakers in most areas, apart from perhaps the United States, but in most areas have tried to sort of stay away from the idea of simply giving consumers money to go out and spend, because they don't believe it's the most efficient way, as I say, to generate economic activity. But there has been reports over the course of the weekend the Chancellor's also considering that.
Yeah, so you'll be straight off down Primark and Argos with your 500 quid, won't you?
Yeah, these are areas I particularly enjoy shopping in and will benefit from if I do indeed get that cheque.
Seriously, the apprenticeship is the key here, isn't it? I mean, lots and lots of retraining is going to be necessary as we come out of the coronavirus crisis, and you've got to train people to do new jobs.
Yep, the world is changing. And the reality is there's a structural change that's been taking place, and it's important that the UK continues to focus at being at the forefront of scientific achievement, of technological advancement. We haven't got a workforce that's able to deal with those types of challenges for the future at the moment. So retooling the UK economy, not only to get through the pandemic for the world that results as after the pandemic, but also to meet the challenges over the course of the next few decades. And when you talk to business, is one thing they've continually told me, is that the lack of focused staff that they can hire is one of the reasons that's holding back their business.
Okay, foreign exchanges, the pound's picked up a bit of ground.
Has picked up a little bit of ground as we continue to see the backdrop, of course, of the Brexit debate taking place and negotiations continuing. The truth is that I don't think we're likely to see anything substantial until we get through towards the end of the summer, when we get an idea about how close the two sides are. But there is a commitment for an intensification of those negotiations, which is seen as positive by the market. Pound against dollar, 124.5. Euro dollar coming in at 113. You're going to get a mere €1.10 for your British pound this morning, though.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Henk Potts and Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. A cyclist is in a critical condition in the Pasteur 2 hospital this morning following an accident on the Col di Tirreni. Authorities say the accident happened near the village of Moulinet when the man lost control of his bike and came off the road. He was airlifted to hospital and is reported to be suffering from multiple injuries. Five people have been injured, one seriously, following a collision between a car and a motorbike on the Route de Régus at Montmaillon in the Var. The 49-year-old motorbike rider is described as critical and was airlifted to hospital in Toulon, while the driver of the car and his passenger, a 14-year-old boy, sustained lighter injuries. Two ambulances and two helicopters attended the scene, and inquiry is underway to determine the cause of the accidents. The municipal swimming pool at Saint-Henri-sur-Mer in the Var will remain closed until the start of August. Authorities say the pool can't yet be reopened because of the risks of transmission of COVID-19. Work has been carried out to improve hygiene measures and self-distancing requirements. There's still no clear indication of what will happen to the Pont en Corbeil in Juin-les-Pins, which was damaged by storms in 2007 and 2019. The structure has been judged as unsafe and the area has been roped off. The ferry company Riviera Line, which uses the pontoon for services to the Île de la Reims, has had to shift operations to Golfe Juan, which has affected its turnover. A meeting of structural engineers and judicial experts is due to be held on the 15th of July in a bid to establish what needs to be done to make the pontoon safe for use and who will have to pay for it. And there's a growing row between the mayors of local villages and conservationists over the Col de la Bonesse in the Tinée. Europe's highest road, which is disputed by many, is seeing increasing numbers of cars and in particular motorbikes during the summer months, which environmentalists say is affecting the natural beauty of the site and damaging wildlife. The road, which is closed in the winter because of heavy snow, links the Tinée to the Ubaye Valley, and local mayors say it's an important attraction which brings in vital revenue for the whole local area. The road was constructed in the 1960s to improve links for local people and farmers, but tourist traffic is now its main purpose. The Col is a protected area within the Mercantour Park, and conservationists say traffic regulations need to be tightened. In national news today, the new French Prime Minister Jean Castex has pledged to put environmental issues at the top of the government's agenda. Mr. Castex, who was chosen by President Macron to replace Edouard Philippe, who resigned on Friday, says the government has to relaunch the construction of the country and invest in sectors for the future. He said that ecological issues are not an option and they transcend all political classes. The 55-year-old new Prime Minister is a former key political adviser to former President Nicolas Sarkozy and worked closely with Emmanuel Macron and Edouard Philippe on the plan for France to come out of lockdown. He's expected to unveil his new cabinet of ministers from lunchtime today, with environmental issues to the fore, showing the strong showing of the Greens in last weekend's local elections. And a 26-year-old woman gendarme has been killed after being struck by a car during a road safety check at Port-Saint-Marie in the Lot-en-Garonne. The officer was killed when the motorist failed to stop for a roadside check late on Saturday night. He was arrested shortly afterwards. The French Interior Ministry said in a statement, the suspect first refused to stop at a roadblock and performed a U-turn before not stopping at a second control point where the fatal incident occurred. The woman officer received medical treatment at the scene but died from her injuries. The suspect's been held in custody at the gendarmerie in Agen.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Formula 1, Valtteri Bottas led from start to finish to win the season-opening Austrian Grand Prix on Sunday. Bottas took the chequered flag ahead of Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari, and Lando Norris scored a maiden podium finish, ending third to give McLaren a much-needed boost. Lewis Hamilton, who was handed a three-place grid penalty for ignoring a yellow flag in qualifying, finished second on track, but was handed a five-second penalty for an illegal collision with Red Bull's Alex Albon. Both Mercedes had gearbox and sensor issues in the latter part of the race, making the predicted cruise to victory for the Silver Arrows less than assured. The next race is also in Austria next weekend. Football, there were four games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. There was a comfortable 2-0 win over Aston Villa for champions Liverpool in their first home match since claiming the title. Boss Jurgen Klopp was pleased with his side's determination.
We found ways to bring ourselves in better positions, step by step by step by step. And then in the end, it was an absolutely deserved win with two wonderful goals. I saw in the eyes of the players that they really were ready to play a difficult game. And so I'm fine with that.
Newcastle United twice came from behind to deny relegation-threatened West Ham a valuable 3 points in their 2-2 draw at St James's Park. Hammers boss David Moyes was satisfied with the result, which came after a midweek win over Chelsea.
Yeah, I think if you give me 3 points against Chelsea and a point away at Newcastle, I think I'd have been saying thanks very much. I'll take that. If it had been the other way around, everybody was saying it would be a really good result.
Sheffield United grabbed a vital equaliser 10 minutes from time to finish 1-1 away at Burnley. United manager Chris Wilder felt the result was fair on both sides.
There was never going to anything be handed out to us, especially as a newly promoted side. You know, they've been in the top 10 more times than we have, been in the Premier League more times than we have. So get a result is satisfying. To get 4 points from a big week is a decent effort, and the spirit was good, just lacking a little bit of quality.
Southampton made it 3 wins from 4 in the Premier League with a 1-0 victory over deposed champions Manchester City at St Mary's. Che Adams scored the only goal of the game. Saints boss Ralf Hasenhüttl was delighted with his side's performance.
I had a good feeling the whole week. The guys were fantastic working, and finally all the bad games we made at home ended up in a nearly perfect one.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
This one game tonight, Spurs host Everton. In the English Championship on Sunday, Swansea beat Sheffield Wednesday 2-1. Middlesbrough lost 1-0 at home to QPR, and West Brom closed the gap on leaders Leeds United to 1 point thanks to a 4-2 win over Hull. Cricket. England have named spinner Dom Best ahead of Jack Leach and Moeen Ali in their 13-man squad for the first test against West Indies, which starts in Southampton on Wednesday. Rory Burns, Dom Sibley, Zach Crawley and Joe Denley make up the top four in the batting lineup, with Joe Root missing the match to attend the birth of his second child. Ben Stokes is captaining the side in the absence of Root. And in racing, Gyarth has beaten the favourites Enable to win the Coral Eclipse Stakes at Sandown. The 9-4 shot trained by Charlie Appleby made all the running and held on to beat the even money favourites and defending champion. A Japan trained by Aidan O'Brien, who won both the Oaks and the Derby at Epsom on Saturday, finished third. See the Derby. What a bizarre race that was. That horse just streaked away with it, didn't he?
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
Coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea in the Var. The general situation is a depression 1,012 millibars west of the Côte d'Azur, deepening to 1,005 millibars and settling between Corsica and continental France. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,016 millibars at the outlook for Tuesday. Clear skies, force 3 to 5. Northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6. The sea is slight to moderate, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars at the outlook for Tuesday. Clear skies, force 4 to 6, northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies again today. Light to moderate southwesterly winds. Temperatures 29 degrees on the coast, up to 32 degrees inland. Overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 19 degrees inland with clear skies. Tuesday, Wednesday, clear skies with highs of 28 to 30 degrees. Finally, a stowaway exotic frog has ended up in a supermarket in Carmarthenshire after a 5,000-mile trip from South America. A staff at Asda in Llanelli spotted the thumb-sized amphibian among bunches of bananas and called the RSPCA. It's thought the frog, nicknamed Asda, arrived from Colombia, where hundreds of thousands of tons of bananas are produced and sent to the UK each year. It's been cared for by specialists in Pembrokeshire, where Asda is feasting on crickets and flies. Delicious.